TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to the last FilmCore TV Corner Game of Thrones podcast for the season. We're reviewing Season 7, Episode 7, The Dragon and the Wolf. Here with me, I've got TJ and Lulu again.
Howdy, howdy.
Yeah, so directed by Jeremy Podiswa, we were taking on an 80-minute emotional roller coaster. I wish this wasn't the last one, but let's get right into this review. We open with basically the United Nations of Westeros. Everyone arrives at the Dragon Pit in King's Landing to basically talk to Cersei and barter a truce. Also to show and tell the White Walker they captured from last episode. I felt like this whole thing was pretty much doomed from the start, but we got to see some really cool reunions. I mean, I think it's really interesting how, like, through life, sometimes you end up on different sides of a battle with your friends and kind of reconnecting in a way that's like, hey, you know, no hard feelings, just the way things worked out. Mm-hmm. And we had so many pairings like that. My favorite was the Hound and Brienne's reunion. I feel like the connection was... It was just nice to see there was, like, no bad blood between them and that they ultimately, like, bonded over the fact that they were trying to do the same thing that was to protect Arya. And it was cute. It was just a cute moment. And yeah. I liked it. And
did you guys, like, I really liked when she said, like, yeah, I'd be worried about anyone who got in her way.
Yeah.
And he definitely was like, yeah, awesome. That's my kid. So it was definitely super cute. And I agree. I mean, I think my favorite was definitely Bronn and Tyrion because they hadn't talked since Bronn basically betrayed Tyrion.
Yeah.
And kind of led to the events that led Tyrion to kill his father, Tywin. At the end of the day, you know, everyone's just trying to, like, look out for themselves and some people more than others, you know, and that's what the difference is.
Right. I think my favorite was also Brienne and the Hound. Just simply because either everybody was, like, friends and remaining friends or enemies and remaining enemies. And they're the only ones that were, like, enemies becoming, like, friends. Bonding over. Like,
yeah. Because
they were never friends. Like, the first time they met, they were at each other's throats. So it was really cool to see them, like, be the most mature reunion.
I mean, it was the most mature reunion until we have the Hound seeing his now zombie brother for the first time.
Looks like a Sith Lord, in my opinion.
Yeah, their armor is really badass. But so cool. Do you guys think we're gonna get Clegane Bowl? I mean, he didn't directly say, like, I'm going to fight you. He says, you know, it's coming for you. Yeah. So,
I think we might get the Hound fighting the Mountain, but. Like, will it be even worth it at this point?
It won't be
the same as, like, the Hound and the Mountain having blood, but the Mountain is pretty much an automaton right now.
Automaton.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's going to be worth what it was before.
I totally agree with you. I was like, this is not the brother that threw you in the fire. This is just now a puppet.
Like, yeah, like, well, that's a great point. Like, is it worth being upset at him anymore? Because I asked when I first saw him on screen, like, does the Mountain even remember the Hound?
Yeah.
Like, at all.
I think the Hound asked that. do you remember me?
Yeah.
You did.
Do you think he really does?
I don't think he does, no.
I think you just saw him step up there like he's about to start something and, right. You know, went out to, you know,
all that's going through his head is Cersei.
Yeah.
My queen.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's, you know, he's, like, on autopilot. He's sunken, like.
Yeah, it's in a sunken place. Then we get, basically everyone's arrived, sitting out, wondering where's Dany. I think we all knew that she was going to come in on her dragons.
Mm-hmm.
That entrance was pretty dope, though.
It was a great entrance.
You could see the saltiness on Cersei's face.
Oh, yeah.
That's so cool. I'm so mad.
Yeah, the salty tears. But she did notice that there were only two dragons later. Mm-hmm. So... we can get back into kind of like Cersei's feelings about, like, Dany's power and her challenging that. But I thought it was definitely a stupid move of Dany.
Oh, yeah.
She should have just brought one, considering that one, they're clearly at risk. So, like, why bring them all at once?
At the same time, though, that doesn't mean that there's any less of a threat to Cersei. If anything, there's more of a threat now that one of the dragons, let's get into it later, but
I see what you mean, like, now, like, someone completely evil has a dragon.
Someone who
she doesn't care
is not able to be bargained with, but yeah, moving on.
Well, I mean, speaking of Cersei, we finally get that white reveal to her. And she is obviously, everyone's horrified.
Yeah, the what is it, produce the body. habeas corpus.
Yeah.
But the body's like still alive. So
I thought they had a pretty solid demonstration down. Yeah, absolutely. They obviously had rehearsed it a little bit. Did you, I mean, initially when I first, when Euron Greyjoy got up and was like, hey, actually, I'm not dealing with this. We can just go sit on an island and wait for this to, you know, pass over. Well, he doesn't know there's an ice dragon, so no, that's not going to actually work.
Right.
Like, you can't go to an island and wait it out.
You
like
someone carnival cruise it on the high seas.
Yeah. Someone can fly to you. So.
True.
I'm surprised they, like, John and everybody else that was part of the team, the squad, didn't, you know, take a note on that they were gonna get the dragon.
Well, I think
they killed it. Like, they could turn things into White Walkers. Like,
I don't think they had a choice, even if they did make the note, right? They were just kind of cut and run.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. I think that it was definitely cut and run, and definitely that no one talked about it. I mean, mm-hmm. It seemed like a pretty obvious jump. Like, oh shit, we just saw polar bears. Clearly, anything can be controlled by them. Mm. We should make that logical jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really feel like, do you guys feel like if they had told Cersei, we just went north of the wall to bring you this, we lost a dragon, they now have a dragon.
Yeah.
Do you think that would have swayed Cersei?
I don't Possibly. Know.
Yeah. I mean, actually, Powder. I don't know. After watching the episode, I kind of feel like Cersei might not be reasoned with at this point.
I was actually very disappointed in her character development. I mean, I really felt like her initial reaction of like, cool, I'll help you if you bend the knee and don't fight against me later when I actually fight Dany again.
Right. She wasn't even asking John to bend the knee. She's like, if you're the king of the north, stay in the north. Right. Don't come down here.
Well, she's basically saying, like, you won't be king of the north anymore. You will be a lord now.
Mm-hmm.
So you would be dropped a rank. But, and also you can't help Dany later. Which, I mean, he literally just pledged to Dany. So, I mean, I see John's point with that. But before we get into, like, oaths and honor, I mean, that was a big theme this episode, especially with Jaime. I just want to get more into like the fact of like, when Cersei initially is like sets up that as her rule and they don't want to honor it and she gets pissed and walked away, whatever, it's just Cersei being petty, and I understand that. But when she comes back for the second time and is like, you know what, screw it, I'll help you guys. And she does it kind of like in a bitchy way. And I was like, yeah, this sounds reasonable. It sounds like actually Cersei's made turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been the coolest character development.
It would have been. It's a missed opportunity because at this point, like, it is so annoying to see her be this, like, evil woman. Right. Like, that's all we've seen for 7 seasons.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I honestly was believing her, you know, when she came out the second time. And I thought, oh, cool, awesome. This is unexpected, but a great development. And then they kind of just ripped that away from us. And
still
just
Cersei.
Yeah, just show, yeah, just kind of prove, not prove, but yeah, they just, it was too predictable afterwards to reveal that it was all just a trick, a plan, like a trap.
Yeah, and I think Jaime was definitely the audience in his reaction, because he was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we really don't have time for this. And I feel like as a viewer, I mean, we know that next season is going to be the last, and I think we only get 8 episodes. Like, I really don't want to spend any time, like, dealing with Cersei in this, like, petty bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. it just seems like a waste of time.
Yeah.
Considering that we have none.
I completely agree. Give us 2 seasons.
Yeah, if we're gonna do this, we need another season.
And also, really, like, so, it would have been cool to see Cersei, like, make that leap and become a force for good. See that change in her character. But also, if you're gonna double down on being evil, then as much as I would have hated it, I kind of wanted to see her actually be evil and have the mountain cleave Jaime in half, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it kind of seems like they went halfway and like, I'm going to stay like this. And, but
she
really.
She couldn't kill her or, brother lover.
Yeah. Or even, well, even killing Tyrion, like when he was in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is all she's been literally talking about for 2 seasons now is killing Tyrion when she sees him, how all the things she's going to do.
Right.
And it just is like, okay, well, if you're, I don't understand. Yeah, either, yeah, be evil if you're going to be evil. If not, like, this is just annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Like,
she used to be a favorite villain. I don't know if I can say that about her anymore. Night King. I'm taking that slot now because he's crazy dope on the back of a dragon.
We can go back into what John said about keeping oaths. I mean, if John had just said like, yeah, Cersei, sure, Yeah. I'll bend the knee.
Slip that wink.
Yeah, but I think that...
Cross your fingers.
What do you guys think about that? Like, do you think he should have just said, yeah, sure, cool?
I mean, it's just not part of his character. It would have been weird if he was, like, lying and then, like, and then you see the back of his hand and see that his fingers were crossed or something. It would just be out of character for him to do that since, you know... And he even kind of, like, said what the audience think, like... I know, you know, he brought up his...
I know I'm an idiot. Yeah.
I know I'm an idiot. I know you don't get it. I know that Ned got killed because of exactly this, and I'm not learning, but this is what we do in the North, you know, like... Mm. And so it was just part of his character, and as much as I think it's stupid, and, you know, he's just that guy. He's just that goody two-shoe guy.
His idealism is honorable.
Yeah.
But to be honest, he has a point, you know? I mean, like, he mentions that lies are, at this point are going to get nowhere. Like, that's true. I mean, this whole, like, Cersei constantly lying thing is just annoying. Like, it's your lies can't ever stop. Once you start lying, you really can't stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't need to lie about it. I'm not giving the knee to you. Let's move along. Like, there's bigger things to do.
Let's figure something else out. Negotiate.
Because, I mean, at this point, even if he had bent the knee to Cersei, do we believe that she would have kept up her end of the bargain anyway? No. Right. So what's the point of that?
What are her words worth?
Yeah. Well, another person whose words aren't worth much. We have Theon and Jon talking in Dragonstone.
Mm-hmm.
And Theon just really wants someone to tell him he's not a piece completely... of shit? Yeah. Not a completely horrible person.
Yeah. He likes that pity. Like, you gotta... I like how motivational Jon was. You know, he gave him half of what Theon wanted. He told him he's family, but he also was like, fuck you.
Yeah. He's like, we're cool, but you still suck.
Yeah. Like family, you know, like you don't get along with all your family members. And that was the case there. Like, Theon is just that shitty cousin you have or something.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, Jon, I thought it was poignant, like, the fact that he was able to forgive him for what he could forgive him for, but he wasn't able to validate him all the way. Like, you still got to earn some redemption.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, ask do for that it. For you. You got to go get that.
Yeah, before that, he was just kind of asking, and I think that's another point. Like, you want to save your sister? Go save your sister. What are you doing wasting your time? Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, and we...
Can't be all talk.
We get Theon basically trying to rally the last of the Ironborn that are on the Dragonstone with a really lukewarm vanilla speech. He wasn't even making eye contact with anyone while he's like mumbling on the side of a boat, like, "Hey, I think guys, maybe it would be cool maybe if you guys thought maybe it'd be okay if we went to go get Yara." Mm-hmm. And I was
would
like,
that be cool?
"Yeah, would that be okay? Is that on the way?"
Dude needs therapy. Like, it's so clear.
Yeah, and then
I'm trying though.
Basically, I don't know the name of the captain who, like, spit in his face.
Yeah.
Who, like, whooped his ass for 2 minutes straight. But I thought, like, you know, Theon knows how to take an ass whooping. It's not his first rodeo, okay?
Yeah.
And what'd you guys think of the crotch-kicking scene where he realizes he's empowered?
Yeah, all the talk of cocklessness in this episode really came up as an advantage.
Yeah.
At this point.
I thought it was silly because it's like, everybody knows he has no dick. And
do they?
I thought they did. I thought everybody knew, like, he was cockless, and it just, like, him, like, kicking him repeatedly in that area. I was like, what? You should be down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was...
That shit would still hurt, though.
Yeah, like, I agree. I think that still would hurt because...
He did. You know, I've been, I got hit by it with a gate. In my crotch.
I remember that.
And that was my face. Different gate. I've been hit with a lot of gates. But I mean, it does hurt. I mean, if anyone hits you anywhere, it doesn't matter if that's, like, you know, your sexual reproductive organ area. It's still gonna hurt. But
yeah, I almost got hit by a soccer ball in that area, and I went down like a man.
I mean, but it was, I think that as we're going back to season one, Tyrion once said, you know, you have to Jon, you know, you have to own your weaknesses and use it as your weapon because the rest of the world isn't going to forget about it. Well, in this case, this guy maybe forgot about it.
Yeah, he totally forgot about it.
But you know what we're saying? It's like, basically, like, you know, like, don't,
use your weaknesses to your advantage.
Yeah. Hmm.
And now they're on their Yara quest. I mean, do you think they're going to get her back?
Predictions?
I think they're setting it up so that, yeah, I think it's going to be a successful trip if Yara is still alive or if there isn't anything else. I mean, but we do have the fact that Euron isn't at the Iron Island, so I don't know if they know where their destination is. Are they
going to catch him?
Yeah, because I mean, we had a reveal with Cersei that he was on his way to Essos to get the Golden Company. So,
well, they're leaving fast enough, they might catch him. I mean, I don't know. The thing is, do you feel like Game of Thrones has taken like a different tone overall?
I think so. I think that,
like, it's a little bit cheerier than, like,
yeah, this was an overwhelmingly positive.
It seems like it was written by fans, you know? Yeah.
A lot of fans.
Yeah, it was just, like, a group of, like, a Reddit thread that made it into an episode.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, I mean, that crotch kick definitely felt like a fan, like, you know, request.
Not to mention the Johnny and Danny erotic fan fiction.
Oh my god.
We will get to that. First, let's head up north to Winterfell. Littlefinger makes one last final play.
Yes.
For a second, I thought that he really was convincing Sansa that Arya was actually going to try and kill her and become Lady of Winterfell. Mm-hmm. And TJ, I believe you said that if you look at Arya for 2 seconds, you're going to know right away she does not want to be Lady of Winterfell.
Right. Like, that's ridiculous. I can't believe, like, it. For me, it was like Sansa knows that's not true, so her going along with this is kind of strange. But, it seemed like Littlefinger was playing her like a fiddle, but at the same time, we know things about Arya and Sansa's relationship with Arya to make you think that that can't be what's going on here.
Yeah.
Their deductive reasoning wasn't all that.
I mean, when they brought Arya into, like, you know, the Great Hall and were, like, reading all the charges, I was like, murder for a who?
Yeah. Right. I mean, she's murdered folks, but like, I was like, who are you going to call out? Like,
yeah, and then they turn and say, Lord Baelish. I was like,
but I'm Lord Baelish.
Dude, Littlefinger's face was fucking priceless.
So good.
Yeah, it was really good. It was also, it was fun to see him so desperate because you usually just hear him like whispering and like lurking in the shadow and just being all
pulling strings, control, one step ahead.
Puppet master.
The only other time we've seen him so helpless was when Cersei had her men seize him back in season one.
Yeah.
Power is power. Probably one of the most iconic Cersei moments. Pretty dope. But Tim, in that moment, you see that same fear here. And I'm pretty proud of calling him catching that blade. Not going to take my own horn. But
I thought Sansa was going to be the one to do it. But it makes sense that Arya did it. Mm-hmm. She's a professional. So
yeah.
I mean, it was like another example of... I think Greg said this once about how, like, the evil characters in the show, like, does it pay to play the Game of Thrones in a slimy way? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it doesn't.
Right.
I mean, yeah, sure, a lot of good guys, you know, get lost along the way. But ultimately, like, the bad guys really don't come out on top in the long run. Mm-hmm. Like, look at, like, Walder Frey. Look at Cersei. I mean, she is grasping at straws here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did Sansa see Littlefinger throw...
On Lysa through the moon door? Actually, yeah, because Aunt Lysa was, like, pushing Sansa towards it.
True. Mm-hmm.
So, to be fair, I don't think it was fair to count that against him, because he did save Sansa.
Yeah.
So, like, it did work to his advantage, but, it was...
But Sansa's playing the game. She doesn't have to be completely clean either, you know?
Yeah.
That's true. I mean, that's true. I mean, and also, finally, Bran is becoming useful in the last episode of the entire fucking season.
Still with that aloofness.
But. And he's still, I mean, it turns out that Sam is more useful than he is.
Right.
Basically, Sam arrives at Winterfell and Sam arrives at Winterfell and meets Bran. Bran's being super creepy, of course.
I know everything.
And Bran reveals that, hey, we gotta let Jon know that his father's Rhaegar, his mom's Lyanna. And he's not a bastard Snow, he's a Sand.
Mm.
And then Sam's like, nah, bro, he's not even a bastard, though. And then Bran's like, what? I'm like, wait, what? You've been sitting here this whole time, you don't know this? Right. Like,
you're
what are
so
you even
cocky,
doing?
Too, and bragging about how you know everything, and then you don't even think about going into that memory.
Literally like... knows nothing. Literally knows nothing. Like, I'm just like...
It would have been out of place, but I wish Sam would have, like, given the credit to Gilly somehow. Just like, oh, yeah, Gilly was totally...
Yeah, amazing. She just learned how to read last week. So and just so you know.
This little nugget of information. But we also learned Jon's real name. Jon Snow is actually Aegon Targaryen.
I mean... I didn't think I liked Jon better. There's a lot of Aegons out there. Yeah.
Jon is great, but Aegon is like a name in the show. You know, like that's like
Jon receiving Aegon. The mantle. I mean, how did Ned get to Jon out of that name?
It's like, I'll call his kid Jon. Whatever. Jon Snow, cool.
I guess it is G-O-N-J. Like, no, it's not even G-O-N-J.
Aegon.
Aegon. Aegon. It's a reach. But
Aegon.
It was pretty interesting that we got that reveal of like his birth and who his parents are as he's like entering Dany's chambers.
And her chambers.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know how to feel about that. I was like,
it was like already too late. Like,
yeah.
You're gonna run in and block. Yeah. But no, it's too late. Already entered.
I felt so bad because I still wanted it to happen.
It's the heartwarming incest that we were all waiting for.
Yeah, it definitely is. What did you guys think about Tyrion kind of like watching from the shadows?
Yeah, I didn't. You said he was upset. I don't. Was that upset? Was he upset? Does he love Dany?
I don't know. I think he's maybe like, this isn't the greatest idea right now because we all got to keep level heads and this is going to get in the way of us possibly having to make some crazy sacrifices later. But it's just going to complicate things. I think that's probably what Tyrion was. But he did look super bummed. Like
he lingered way longer than anyone who like is like he didn't like. Okay, have you ever seen your friend maybe hook up with someone who you don't think is like the best person? And you're like shaking your head like, God damn it, why?
And then he walked away.
But yeah, but he like said in that hallway like he was the one like trying to go knock on Dany's door.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Like a bottle.
Yeah. A bottle of wine.
He'd be like, hey, what are you guys doing?
Yeah. Hey, what are you guys doing? Are you guys okay? I hear some weird noises.
My queen.
I don't know. I mean, I'm glad it's happening. Maybe they'll get married next season. I thought it was going to happen this season. But, yeah. I mean, and, like, Janny. And, like, Dany and Jon, as Tyrion said, we're fucked. Let's go up to East Watch, where the wall has now come down.
Yes. What was that? Was that dragon spitting fire or ice? It was like
blue magic. I don't think it could even be considered fire. Like it was just like
it didn't look. Did it look like? Did it act like fire?
It was like really powerful, unlike the fire, which like came out and burned things. But it had like a real punch to it, and it seemed to have like an electric magical.
Yeah, I mean, like, it didn't. I thought it was just going to melt the wall like a popsicle.
No, but it was, like, exploding. It was, like, turning the wall to pieces.
Destroying it, yeah, like a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm. I think it's, like, a magic. I think it's just dark magic.
Dude, when they came out of that forest, though, across the yard.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, so scary.
It was so fucking fast, dude. Like, the creepiest speed where it's just, like, tearing through the sky. Like a fucking jet. Like
yeah, that dragon is fast. I haven't seen a dragon fly that fast.
Yeah, I am not confident with the other dragon's abilities.
Yeah, some another dragon's definitely gonna die.
Yeah, that's definitely my prediction. We're gonna lose the other one, and maybe it'll be up to Drogon to take them both down.
Yeah,
and you know that actually makes their goal a little harder because they decided that the weak point is killing the Night King. Everybody goes if the Night King goes. Now he's flying around on a dragon at supersonic speeds. You know, like this is looking pretty grim.
Yeah,
pretty dark.
Yeah. Do you guys have any predictions for next season? Or for, I guess, the end of the entire series at this point?
Man. Well, we're definitely... Oh, sorry. You go ahead.
I think I definitely foresee King's Landing getting the torch. Cersei taking the L for sure. Maybe hopefully early because I'm tired of her. But I don't think any amount of Golden Company soldiers or... anything is going to be able to stop the Army of the Dead. I see a last stand at Dragonstone, possibly pulling out the victory right there at the end. No, that's my prediction.
Yeah, I predict one dragon losing. Losing one dragon. That I feel like Jaime is going to be like the reason for Cersei's destruction.
Okay. Know?
I have that feeling, you know, like it just seems so fitting because I think he seems so bullied by her, you know.
Yeah, at this point, right.
He got a catty sister and
she called him stupid in the episode.
She did, you wouldn't listen to dad because you were off playing golf or something.
I'm like, oh my gosh, she just loves to be comparing herself to their father.
Yeah,
I think her father would have been smarter.
I feel like she has a crush on her dad.
Dad says. Okay. Well, for my predictions, I'm going to throw out there, I think Danny is going to end up being pregnant.
Oh.
And that John will be right by saying that this witch really doesn't know what she's talking about. I think that, TJ, I totally agree with you. King's Landing is done.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's going to happen is, either Cersei's gonna blow it up, or maybe they blow it. Underneath the Night King.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of wildfire. Just burn all the White Walkers in the city.
Burn as many as possible.
Do you guys think? What's gonna happen to Winterfell when they walk past?
They're arriving tomorrow. If we're basing it on travel times that have been throughout the series, but I think Winterfell's gonna get trounced.
Oh my goodness.
They don't have the defense. They don't have anything right now. Who do they have?
Arya.
You got the Knights of the Vale? Maybe? Yeah.
Do you think we don't really know what the Night King wants. We don't know if he wants total domination. We don't know what he's. It just seems like he's on a kill mission and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you're not in their direct walking path, do you think that you could be safe in a way? Say they're making a straight shot down south. And mm-hmm. you're somewhere way on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Could you?
I don't know where exactly he's marching. I don't think he has any strong desires to do anything but wipe out life in general. But even if he were to make that straight shot, I think his people are just going to wander, take over, kind of like a virus, just from the center out if he goes straight for the center.
Oh, well, that's true. You're saying, as they just keep, killing more people and mm-hmm. they add some army, it's just going to get wider and wider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Also, to add to my prediction, I think John's going to have to die.
John? No.
Yeah. You can't have two heirs to the throne, right? And I think we've worked a lot to see Danny on the throne, and in order for that to happen, if the knowledge gets out, John's not gonna be able to take that throne.
I think you're right. I think it's gonna come down to either John or Danny dying. Wouldn't it be cool? What if they had to burn the Night King or something, and they had to stand together to do it? And Danny can't be burnt, so maybe she comes out of it alive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I predict we'll get more dragons.
More dragons.
I think there'll be a reveal somehow that they're some egg somewhere or something.
They're all male, right?
Well, they can change sex or something.
Cool.
So, it is possible for two male dragons to have a kid. Very progressive dragon sex rules.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to think about the fact that, it's going to be a year and a half before we get any more Game of Thrones.
I see 2019. As the
2019, we don't even know if we're gonna make it that far.
Right. If we don't get our own burning.
Yeah. If we don't get our own Sept of Baelor explosion.
Right.
Yeah. And I just wanna give a shout out to anyone who has family in Texas right now.
Absolutely.
I hope everyone's safe and.
Hope you get to watch Game of Thrones.
Hope you got to watch.
That'd be nice.
I hope you still got to watch Game of Thrones, I guess. Yeah.
Well, escapism is never bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me on this week's podcast with me. We really churned through this one.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm going to miss this.
Yeah. So sad. Well, you guys can catch us on some other film core reviews coming up. We're going to do Stranger Things, Westworld, and trying to figure out what else we're going to do.
Black Mirror,
and Black Mirror. So we have three more big ones coming up. Maybe we'll do some sort of Game of Thrones review in 6 months of just highlights or something.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
But again, thank you guys so much for getting on these with me this season. Shout out to Greg, Out There in the World Shooting.
Down from
And we'll catch you guys next time.
All right, bye.
All the winds and the steps and the call. He rode to a woman's side, for she was a secret treasure. She was his shame and his bliss. And a chain and a keep are nothing compared to a woman's kiss. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm.